I'll call the special economic. It comes from habit. Chair. I'll call the special common council meeting of November the 4th to order. Mr. President, administration, please call the roll.
Alderman D'Andrea?
Here.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Here.
Alderman Evans?
Here.
Alderman Schmidt?
Present.
Alderman Mayer?
Here.
Mayor Olson?
Here. Please rise and join us in the
meeting. Hey, we can just stand straight up here.
There. Yeah. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. First of all, I'm going to apologize. We're going to have to speak loudly because we don't have a sound system in the room, but we're using the council chambers so that our citizens can exercise their right to vote, and we're pleased for that. Before we get started, I'd like, for those of you who haven't met him, to introduce Glenn Morrow, our new city engineer. Glenn, stand up. There you go. And yes, we broke his arm. Tonight's, I'm not much for hyperbole. Kind of a change we made here in April. But tonight we have an opportunity to make history for the city of Franklin and, frankly, southeastern Wisconsin. The reception that the newspaper article got has been, no hyperbole, exceptional. So I'm looking forward to a spirited conversation tonight, but I hope at the end of the evening we're going to walk out of here with history being made. So given that, I'll open the citizen comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak? Any citizen wishing to speak? Is there any citizen wishing to speak? Seeing that nobody is, I will close the citizen comment period. Item 3A, Mr. City Attorney, Future Business Park Development, 27th.
Mr. Mayor, it's beyond 27th Street. Actually, there are three potential large development areas that were noted, and perhaps I should just walk through the kind of council action sheet. They're all in the relative same format. They all have a certain history with being based in prior studies and plans of the city of Franklin. And the first one listed here is the Future Business Park Development, and the location is South 27th Street and West County Line Road generally. And there's a rough map in the Common Council packet. Common Council packet in its entirety is on the City of Franklin website online. And that rough map depicts an area from West Oakwood Road, south down the County Line Road, with the eastern border being South 27th Street, the center of which is anticipated to be served by the West Elm Road interchange in the next couple of years or so for expressway access purposes. With regard to prior studies, Tickner and Associates, March 2000, Franklin first study is noted, and that particular area included a property that was noted as one of the best potential sites, if not the single best potential site for new primary business park development in the city. Economic development as a whole, citywide, was considered by the Common Council back at its first meeting in June. And one of the subject matter items on that agenda was whether to re-up and update the Tickner study from now about 13 or 14 years ago. Discussion amongst the Common Council members at that meeting included comments, well, the studies are there, there's a number of studies, and they have been on the shelf somewhat, and that staff can look at this and staff can come back and make recommendations. Staff looked at this particular area as well as the other ones. There's a good deal of specific professional expertise ultimately appropriate to develop these type of large physical areas. So staff looked from a higher view and did their own professional best in terms of viability of these particular sites. Part of that study was not only on the Franklin books and the legal and the engineering and the planning books and the education behind all of that, but also in consult with numerous overall third-party potential consultants, and that includes up the government levels, Milwaukee County and state of Wisconsin. And that's overall bottom line was that staff concluded that this project area appears to be viable. The concept being certain public improvements, sewer, water, and some minor road improvements on the existing roads, as well as new road construction to serve a new business park would be required. The development image itself for this particular area, which consists of generally in its rough high view entirety of the staff, approximately 352 acres. The image used by staff was the Franklin Business Park. Franklin Business Park was essentially created by way of development agreements and the like back in, as I recall, March 1994, and ultimately upon closure in 2012 has been recognized as one of the most, if not the most successful public-private business park ventures historically in the state of Wisconsin, utilizing tax increment. So that was the image, and the Franklin Business Park is known for high quality standards in terms of the development and the like, with some very detailed declaration and covenant documents that are of record with the Register of Deeds that served to govern the particular property, and that was also a primary purpose. So that was out there as a model. With regard to board and commission involvement, obviously the Common Council decides whether or not this particular potential new development is a goal. Obviously, a business park would include recommendations from the Economic Development Commission and the Community Development Authority, utilizing the model by the Franklin Business Park, which is existing Plan Development District 18. The Community Development Authority under the Wisconsin statutes would be authorized to, in effect, administer the operations thereof with regard to land sales and the like, and future new developments within a future business park on a per lot basis, approval, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. With regard to potential consultants, they're listed in the action sheet, and that's Ellers and Associates to prepare from scratch the tax incremental district review and study. And each and every one of every single tax incremental district in the state of Wisconsin has, if it's been approved, is approved by way of a public transparency process. There's a substantially detailed project report that has to be prepared, and the project report gets into details such as the kind, number, and location of all proposed public works and improvements, an economic feasibility study, a detailed list of estimated project costs, if there's any public financing involved, description of the methods of financing, all that estimated project costs, and a time when the related costs are to be incurred. The plan should also include a map showing existing uses and a map showing proposed improvements and uses, any proposed changes of zoning, list of estimated non-project costs, and whether or not there's any public acquisition which may be involved, which would require statutory relocation with regard to the property owners. And within that regard, to the tax incremental district, if there's any public financing involved, Wells and Brady is bond counsel, what bond council does when looking at potential public funding and financing in a tax incremental district is, in effect, reviews the basics and the essentials of the tax incremental district, which may have been adopted. So the thought was, since that would occur anyway with Quarles and Brady as City of Franklin Bond Council, perhaps Quarles and Brady serves as a second opinion backup in case some very unusual tax incremental district legal questions arise while this district is being planned and served up for the decision makers, the common council, to decide what to do, which is preceded by a public hearing at the Plan Commission. Plan Commission reviews, adopts the project plan. Ultimately, the common council decides whether it's a go. And then the next potential consult was Rupert and Milkey. They also have consult second party, if you will, Hitchcock Design Group out of major Chicago area. And that specialty involvement here is with regard to engineering costs involved for business park development, as well as the appropriate design, lot size, lot flexibility for potential buyers, investors, and new individual business developers to enter the site. With regard to potential development partners, MLG Development was the development partner of the City of Franklin in Plan Development District Number 18, the Franklin Business Park. Also, Ergens Development has expressed an interest in potentially participating in this particular development, expressed some high excitement with regard to the oncoming development of the West Drexel or Elm Road interchange. And in the real world, and I think MLG executives express it maybe a little differently, but MLG takes the land, and it might be vacant and blank, and turns it into a new development, a future business park, which is the model of the Franklin Business Park. And you look at it now, and the quality development involved, and the tax benefits involved, and the jobs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And MLG deals primarily in business park operation, create the business park, sell the properties involved, operate the business park thereafter, whereas Ergens primarily, and I'm being very general here, but they deal from the ground up. It's the multi-story of various forms of commercial development, which MLG does also. All these potential development partners, talks are ongoing, and there's a lot of detail involved, and it got to a point where I wanted to see if the common council votes yes or no on the subject matter to continue moving further on. With regard to roughly estimated costs and benefits, gets into a little bit of detail here in the action sheet. The sum total of what it amounted to, it was almost a coincidental after the fact, because Franklin Business Park serving as a model was for the purposes of standards, et cetera, et cetera, and the success of the operation after the fact. When one looked at the rough 30,000-foot general maps put together by city staff, primarily Department of City Development, lo and behold, the Franklin Business Park, where you add up all the developed lots, lot by lot, 3 acres, 7 acres, 25 acres, add them all up, they add up to 353.21 acres. Then one looks to the general map prepared by the Department of City Development and put the two together, and that's 352 acres with regard to a two-phase potential approach, 1 acre difference. There's all kinds of experts out there in the world, and highly educated financial experts and projectors who say, okay, you're going to make this number of dollars per lot if this particular development, one of 12, is built on it, et cetera, et cetera. The simple thought where I grew up was, there's your model. It's 353 acres. It's somewhat just up the block. here's 352 acres. Why not take the gross amount of increment, gross meaning total, not grotesque, and that increment for the Franklin Business Park, which the property value before the park was created was $2,229,400, $2.3 million. When the park closed 14 years later in 2012, the value of all the property exactly in that area was $180,974,400, which means Franklin Business Park built $178,745,000 of new value. You have 1 acre difference down the block on this potential future project. And so did some grade school arithmetic. I don't like math. And ultimately, using that as a model, the projection would be $178,132,668, meaning $1,016,246 of new tax revenue available just to the city of Franklin. Status and feasibility determination. I think this is an important statement. To this moment in time, no decisions have been made, and all decisions await the tax incremental district feasibility study, project cost preparation, projected increment revenue study, and public hearing and decision-making process. So that's the way the action sheet is written for each one of these. I won't present all the detail on the rest of these except for the basic facts with regard to, now that's future business park development. The second one, future retail development. Location is essentially South 76th Street and West Rawson Avenue, also West Loomis Road. There's a general map attached. It's online. High-level mapping. Tickner & Associates, and it's parts and parcels of this particular area, because this particular area, which essentially starts just west of the Sendix and the drugstore on 51st and Rawson, proceeds west all the way down to Loomis Road, and then heads south a little bit down Loomis Road. Part and parcel of that cited in Tickner was noted in the action sheet. One of those was a sites A1, A2, etc. Site A1, which is located in the southwest quadrant, has been identified by the McComb Group as the most suitable site for large-scale retail development in the central portion of Franklin and in the Franklin School District. Another smaller site of that area, with A2, which is located in the southeast quadrant, that's essentially the lands just west of Pick and Save, which are along Loomis Road right now. And I know there was concerns expressed by engineering staff and the like, because there had been filling done, and that filling might not make it readily developable, and there's also access issues with the Wisconsin Department of Transportation through the years. Just one example of speaking with third-party consults in a nutshell, and representatives are here, making quote me if I'm wrong, but I mentioned, well, there's that filled site that's, I'm hearing, going to be a big problem, and in its simplest parlance, the answer was, nah, it won't. So there were high-ranking marks for that area as a retail area in the Tickner report. City staff conclusions, same result, looking at the big picture, finance department, city treasurer, city planner, acting city engineer, the project appears to be viable. Development image, a relatively centrally located, high-quality commercial retail destination point for city residents, but also for a market area beyond the geographic boundaries of the city of Franklin. offering a variety of unique quality retail and commercial goods and services providers. The citywide survey has the business type preferences back in 2005, and that's just only one of, I believe, three in about the last 15 years. Bottom line responses, the highest rated and most desired new retail development in Franklin requested by survey answering residents was restaurants. So that's noted in here. Board and commission involvement, in addition to the plan commission and county council, with regard to feasibility, the tax incremental district creation, and review of any accompanying zoning and land use decisions. The thought was economic development commission should serve as the number one recommending city board and commission for this particular development. Potential consultants, once again, Ellers and Associates, with regard to the tax incremental district creation, same reason, Quarles and Brady, as in the future business park area, and this could be a two-parter depending upon what the Common Council wants to do. For assistance with regard to the preparation of the feasibility study and the project report to properly review the tax incremental district proposal, Grafe USA Inc. would be consulting engineers in the packet, and part of their contract, which is not listed in the bottom line costs in their action sheet, though, they also provide specific economic development services and have an economic development department, and the representatives are here when that subject matter comes up. Like, they'll drop names of specific vacant potential retail areas and other areas in the major metropolitan area where, and then they can drop the names of the famous, what some people would call preferred retail developments, whether it's stores or restaurants or what, that they successfully developed on those particular sites. Potential development partners. This was not in the Business Journal article, even though as soon as I saw that it wasn't in there, I called the mayor, and the mayor says, yeah, I mentioned that because they called me, and I sent an email to the reporter on that one. Potential development partner, we've had ongoing discussions with Mr. Zimmerman and his group primarily. And then the thought from staff was also on a parcel area or parcel by parcel basis, perhaps partnership agreements with lot owners throughout the area and the city would be appropriate. Once again, walk through the roughly estimated costs and benefits. This was a very rough projected, okay, possible tax incremental district. Okay, here is what might possibly be developed here. There were limited initial sewer and water and minor road and transportation traffic signalization costs, minor, well, in the big scheme of things, but it's about $3 million, which is not a small amount of money, but relatively speaking. And the potential increment over the life of tax incremental district, roughly, I'm not going to read all these detailed numbers again, which are in the packet, which is online, but that was a little bit over $1 million. So you subtract out the existing costs, and there's money there to provide for other development needs. There might be a smaller area where some additional sewers needed. There might be some property assistance costs, whether it's with that fill area or there's another property out there that might have some issues. So that would be available, and ultimately doing that same kind of modeling, if that would be the increment that when the tax district closes, it would ultimately result in an additional $681,000+ tax revenue to the city. Status, feasibility, and determination. Once again, no decisions have been made.
Questions?
Yeah.
Question.
Alderman Wilhelm.
On that particular one, there were no acreage, and I just got them from me when I walked in tonight. The rest of them have acreage, so the 681,000 is based on what acreage amount?
I didn't look at acreage. I did the arithmetic calculations, and I checked back through just file workups dating back to the first June, and somewhere staff, Department of City Development staff, had come up with 553 acres.
For the 76 area?
Yes.
So that number is based on 500 and some acres?
Yes.
No, the 681 is a gross number.
Well,
you take that divided by 581, that's your cost per acre, that's your revenue per acre. If it's 581, that's a number, give or take.
Yeah, because I'm getting 256 plus 197 for 453, but 142 of county property.
So I'm sorry, wasn't 553, it was 457.
Okay. Minus 142. So I just want to make sure we're using the right figures.
I just ran a peek. They put numbers on this generalized map, and that was just a 30,000 foot rough map. And I looked at some bottom line number where they had a list of each and every property and what might be a potential future use.
Thank you.
And I know there's some county land in there, which I understand staff included, because the nature of a tax incremental district by definition and requirements is that all the lands have to be contiguous. But obviously the city is not going to be developing some down the road county property. The third potential district or development would be future mixed-use business, light industrial, commercial, residential, nature conservation, and all-inclusive playground, public park development. Discussion within the action sheet is how unique this is. And I actually am reading newspapers on Sunday on the run before heading to the office. I also noted there are a couple other developments in this metropolitan area, both of which mention mixed use, and one of which, a very large scale, mentions residential within retail commercial area and how important that is, and that's where society is and is moving, that mix of residential in with commercial and retail. And then the other one also referred to mixed use and not only mentioned upper scale residential, that one mentioned condominiums and possible upper scale apartment use, but commercial, retail, and light industrial business park. And so I finished my cup of coffee and I thought, thank you so much for creativity. Apparently anybody can figure this out. In any event, Tickner and Associates, this was a holding area that by designation, and the rationale, which is quoted, is the area should not be prematurely subdivided for residential or other uses until market conditions and availability of utilities can support development of the district, perhaps as an industrial park. That's the bottom line, one line out of the Tickner report on this area. And the city of Franklin, by way of public input as well as staff, Plan Commission, Common Council, through a comprehensive master plan development through all the years, back on November 20th, 2001, adopted a plan area which a substantial majority of this area includes essentially industrial development. on the map, actually, some of it is heavy industrial further to the south. So those are the references, staff conclusions. Once again, development area project appears viable. Looking at some rough staff calculations, this is the entirety of the area where it would be 553 acres. The rough general map in the County Council agenda packet shows, I believe, 39 potential properties. The unique nature of differing uses is very roughly set out like this. On the northeast end of the map, the west side, I'll call it the west side of Loomis, there's a proposal that the County Council reviewed back in July for the development of an all-inclusive playground. And part of the interested parties there are Kayla's crew, which is a not-for-profit, non-incorporated association. Property upon this was where this was originally sited, is Victory of the Lamb Church. Part of this is all concept, requires further detail, just like the other two projects I mentioned. It would involve public acquisition of a portion of that Victory of the Lamb property to support the all-inclusive playground as a public property, public park use. Park impact fees would be used to assist with matching grants of value, cash, and lands to develop this all-inclusive playground, and in the midst of people working together and discussing this concept, what was brought in was an adjacent, immediately adjacent, 50 acres of natural conservation area land, which was acquired by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, conveyed to the Conservation Fund / Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewerage District, in which the sewerage district would now convey to the city of Franklin, which amounts to about 50 acres. And the general concept is that 50-some acre parcel, which the western boundary would be 116th Street, the eastern boundary is Loomis Road, and it's just a little bit, a couple of lots north of West Ryan Road, would be adjoined with whatever portion of the Victory of the Lamb property is to be acquired by the city, so the all-inclusive playground would be developed on that Victory of the Lamb acquired from property. And we're looking at potential access from 116th Street as well as West Loomis Road potentially at this point in time. So there's a conservation area. Then you stay on that side of Loomis Road, which I'll call the west, and you proceed to the south a little bit. There are a number of parcels there. I believe one of the potential development partners for the city already has those under contract, and a potential development partner also is in discussions with property owners there where that could be residential development. Go across the street, across Loomis Road, and the thought is from where the Irish Cottage Tavern is right now, head southwest a little bit and along Loomis Road, probably all the way down to, a good distance southwest. That would be commercial development. And then the thought is behind that would be light industrial business park of a higher quality nature. And adjoining that, perhaps along 112th Street, and there are wetlands and woodlands in the middle of that halfway point down to West Oakwood Road. Perhaps that's an area for the development of a traditional neighborhood. Back around the turn of the century, University of Wisconsin law professor and planner, Brian Ohm, worked with all kinds of folks in Madison and developed what's called a traditional neighborhood ordinance. And any municipal, in 2001, I believe, the legislature adopted an act which required any municipality over 12,000 residents or population to adopt a local ordinance which allowed for the development of a traditional neighborhood. And a traditional neighborhood, and we can think about all kinds of examples everywhere, but the traditional neighborhood is where you have somewhat smaller lots. Well, you have smaller lots, and you have more residential, single family usually, sometimes duplexes. And then within that, you have the live, work, and play aspects of local neighborhood retail, local neighborhood commercial, and perhaps a place to work. So some form of local neighborhood job opportunity, business establishment. And that was a mandatory thing for municipalities over 12,000 population more than a decade ago. And you look around the state, and every municipality of any size has it in their ordinances, but there's very little development. And you can drive through Middleton or Fitchburg, and there's a little bit of that here and there. But normally what happens is you have the 100-plus-year-old, long-time developed, away from the metropolitan areas, larger municipalities, where they kind of redevelop, if you will, and call that the traditional neighborhood, but it was in effect already there to a certain extent. So here's another one of those. Franklin could be the first with actually starting from scratch and doing a traditional neighborhood. And in the action sheet, it refers to a place to live, work, and play, but also that would attract visitors who don't live there. You can work there and you can play there, and it's the ultimate definition of mixed use. So the development image set forth goes into some great detail along the lines of pretty much what I just mentioned. Board and commission involvement with regard to this particular development. The thought was similar to the future business park. And that would be with regard, and different overlay areas can be done on this, and that all gets down to the details. But with regard to any light business, light industrial park development area, that Economic Development Commission recommend, CDA recommend, and ultimately the Common Council may delegate the operational authority to the Community Development Authority for that purpose within that district. And with regard to the Kayla's all-inclusive park development, the Common Council back in July did direct that development to move forward, and there was a secondary motion just expressing Common Council support. So that's a concept-wise is being included in this 553 potential acre mixed-use development area. And bottom line on all tax incremental districts is a legal requirement that but for the establishment of this tax incremental district, this development would not happen. Common Council already said, move this Kayla's forward. So how does that mean but for? Looked at all kinds of numbers. There's private engineers on the private sector end that are producing numbers. That particular project could go forward, but there would be no public sewer because the cost, financing, availability is simply not there. Impact fees wouldn't be sufficient to cover that, so that particular public park use site to get served by public sanitary sewer would require inclusion in this particular district. Potential consultants, Ellers again, Ellers and Associates, Inc., Quarles and Brady again, and once again for the same purposes, Grave USA, Inc., and we can get into the details on that because in the action sheet for this site, as well as the 76th Street retail site, there might be different duties there, and it comes down to the economic development aspect of it. So the council can decide what prongs out of that contract to go and go or whatever. Potential development partners, Newport Development Corporation provided a concept review for residential some time ago earlier this year. Had discussions thereafter, and that was by the Common Council discussing the fact that on the comp plan, comprehensive master plan, this is a potential light industrial area. Staff has had discussions with them, and discussions are ongoing with regard to the mixed-use development that I mentioned here, and one of their representatives is present also. Kayla's crew slash Penfield Children's Center, and Shelley Runty's here that I saw earlier. Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewer District, the Conservation Fund, as I mentioned, and Victory of the Lamb Incorporated, and the potential broker who's working in the area is Mr. Joseph Eldridge, and that's a Colliers International Real Estate Development Brokerage. Roughly estimated costs. Staff did a very, very limited high view here, and it was just very, very small area out of the potential 553. It was about 140 acres or along those lines. The ultimate increment using the same type of arithmetic, et cetera, resulted in about a $330,000 Franklin one quarter share of gross tax increment. The total increment benefit would be $1,321,000+. Status and feasibility determination, no decisions have been made. That entire first item on the agenda was provided for Common Council informational purposes, and for the last time I'm going to say from a higher view. And so all these three major areas have been on the books, to just use a phrase, for a relatively lengthy time, and have been looked at by all kinds of different folks through the years and staff through the years, et cetera, et cetera. So it's all before the Common Council now. And with regard to the appears to be viable conclusions on each one of these from staff, how do you make a decision on it? Well, if you want to do it, you have to hire the tax incremental district consultant, get the backup from the downtown lawyer, and then you get the assistant consulting expert engineer that works in with the tax incremental district, and each one of these, and all of this, ultimately, it's not just economic development to me. I think, and I don't get into policy, but when you want to discuss this, it's about quality of life. And some people might think quality of life is no development, but the concept here is quality of life primarily, and variety of life. And then economic development, and part of how do you do this, ultimately, after consulting engineers and the financial experts right up front, which is necessary, you can add in or do separate the subject matter from last night's discussion, which is the Buxton retail recruitment, and at a minimum, items 3, B, C, D, and E are absolutely necessary if you want to do it. And if you don't want to do one of these, then you don't approve these contracts, and staff won't look at this stuff anymore. If you want to do it, then you got to get the consults, and then it's still not done because it's a step-by-step-by-step business.
Questions, Alderman Schmidt?
Yeah, I think before we start delving into the pros and cons of each of these districts, there are three. I have a few questions just overall for the staff and trying to grasp the whole thing of what we're trying to do. Number one, how feasible is it for us to try to pursue all three fit districts at the same time? And if we could handle all three, if we prioritize, how much time in between lag time would we need if we started one now and started another one, say, what, 6 months or a year from now? And if we did pursue all three, how much financial risk or debt are we prepared to absorb to get all three of these off the ground? So I'd like to have that addressed by Mr. Liberta and Mr. Watsonberg and maybe Mr. Deal as far as what the staff can handle too.
Mr. Liberta.
Actually, relative to the amount of cost and financing, I think Paul worked more closely on the earlier numbers on that.
Mr. Rotzenberg.
Relative to the financial risks to the city, each of the districts present a different set of parameters for the city. And so if I could address them individually, I think it's easier to speak to that. And I'll start on the third item, which is the all-inclusive district on the southwest portion of the city. There, as I understand it, engineering is anticipating approximately $3 million or less of infrastructure costs. And so the risk to the city is limited to that $3 million and the financing costs associated with it. Relatively small amount of development should pay for that over the life of the district. If you move north to the 76th and Rawson, again, the infrastructure costs, as they've been identified, is primarily to bring sewer and water to the north portion of that district. And as staff has looked at the various opportunities for development, again, sufficient development likely would occur to retire that debt over the life of the district. When you go to the southeast part, where now you have a major or a more substantial investment in infrastructure and potential land purchases, there's an existing district there. That district has several tens of millions of dollars of increment already existing and would likely support $11 million worth of infrastructure costs over the remaining life of that district. However, as staff is looking at this, we're talking about additional infrastructure costs. There are timing issues associated with that with the existing TIF, in that the expenditure period expires in 2020 and the life of the TIF expires in 2025 under current state statutes. So the ability to recover additional infrastructure expenditures over the remaining life of that district becomes something that really requires a third party, i.e. Ehlers, to take a look at that and see whether or not they concur with staff on the ability to do it. But that particular district has already an existing increment to work off of, so it has a really leg up on the other two.
Interested was how burdensome would it be for our staff to pursue all three TID districts at the same time?
I think a key component to remember is as you move forward with this and you're doing the feasibility study and getting the process forward, one of the things you have in your budget for this year that's continued in your proposed budget for next year that's scheduled to go to hearing is the addition of an economic development director. So I do anticipate that, you know, what you've heard a number of aldermen reference that position, that these development areas are going to be a primary concern to that individual. So besides existing staff support and the prioritization of our time to what I imagine will become a main priority if they're approved, they'll have the support of a full-time individual. And in fact, the budget did anticipate a portion of that cost being allocated to TIF areas in the 2015 budget. So,
and And just one final question in relationship to our engineering department. We'll have engineer and all the highway projects coming down the road very shortly. Are they going to be able to handle all this?
Well, I won't speak for them, but actually I will. Bottom line is, a lot of the detail work is likely to be contracted out. That's the way you do it through the TIF. So really, they just have to do that oversight of the consultants, and that's relatively easy to do. They've been doing it for decades, each of them. So I don't think oversight of contractors will be difficult for them.
It took Mr. Liberto a bit to get around to the bottom line. And the bottom line is, in these TIF districts, in TIF districts in general, the work isn't done by city staff. City staff supervises and oversees, but the work is done by contract because it's paid for. So, and is that it?
That's it.
Anyone else?
I have lots of questions.
Let's break the mold here. Alderman Evans.
I would just like to be reassured about, because Mr. City Attorney said we had to approve all these items in order to proceed with everything. So I just want to be reassured about approving the engineering services prior to the feasibility study, that the need to do this all at once.
There's a list of things that has to be done in order to come to a dollar amount. You need to know, you need the architect, you need to draw the house up before you can get a price on it. And that's what that is, in broad terms. So you need to engineer and figure out your cost, figure out what you're going to spend money on, then you need to figure out what it is.
And for whatever it's worth, and that's just always kind of on that worst case scenario, both the proposed consulting engineering representatives received questions from me. What if in 2 weeks from now something happens? State legislature jumps into session and bans tax incremental districts in Wisconsin that day, next day, when it's laws published. And the bottom line is, it's reasonable costs incurred through whatever they did to that point, and costs expended by them to third parties or whatever done. So, and I know that's we'll get into it. That's just kind of simplistic, old-fashioned way. That would happen.
I want to expand on Alderman Evans' question by looking at the agenda and kind of walking you through the reason it's laid out this way. Item B is a contract with Ehlers. Those would be the folks that would put the numbers together based on item C and D, which is the engineering of these areas, which is based off of item E and D, which is planning for what works best in these areas. Where should the roads go? What kind of water do you need? What's the best layout for these lands? So they all work together to come up to a number and a recommendation from outside sources, who will then come to the council and say, okay, here's the number for 27th and Oakwood. It's feasible or it's not, or you guys make the call. The retail area, 76th and Ross, and here's the numbers. We recommend this or that. You guys decide. And then the one on Loomis Road. Based on all that information, you decide. So this is a prelude to making the final. Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Danner.
Well, I guess I'll limit it to some of them. I spent as much time as I could, given the fact that we had a pretty heavy council packet on items to go through last night, which tied up a lot of time. But I did put each area, and I list all the pros and cons from I-5 felt it was a little bit hard because I didn't have answers on all the questions. And then I also looked through, you know, the acreage and consideration from constituents in the past and the documents. So one of the things I saw with going with the Ehlers contract, and that was on page 18 of your packet, it sort of is laid out to, if you look at the grid that's gives the cost, it's sort of laid out to go through phase 1, 2, and 3 and get to the 14,000 and do a second one and a third one. But it seems to me we would be wiser in our analysis to go straight across the chart and look at, you know, a phase 1 for each three of them before we spend the money on the phase 2 and the 3. And certainly phase 3 takes you all the way down to taking it before the taxing district. So it wouldn't make sense to go through all the way to those phases if we don't find that they can meet phase 1.
That's a great suggestion. Can I ask you to hold that and let's do general comments first, and then when we get to that item, we can do that specifically? That'd be all right?
That's not a general comment. It's a, okay.
Well, I'm just, that's dealing with the contract. We should probably do that when we talk.
Well, I'm pointing out things for conversation so people can throw out ideas because, you know, I've already heard that, well, you know, are we going this direction? Do we have to do, you know, all of the engineering? Well, if you do it that way, you don't necessarily have to jump into all the engineering costs. You can do a more limited scope, which would save us money until we actually were fairly confident that these would all work.
Continue. You got the floor.
Well, I'm going to give up the floor. I'll let somebody else talk for a while. So.
Alderman Dandridge.
Well, I think that some of the people here would like to know, okay, if we agree to go ahead and do this, what is the initial outlay of money that we're going to have with preliminary research?
City attorney?
Best guess.
You mean all the way through the point where, let's assume steps into step three, feasibility, project preparation, et cetera. And there's three projects lined up for a common council decision as to whether or not to approve the tax incremental district. You can do that by just walking through the action sheets. And that would be, assume that all three are done, that would be 55,000 plus 87,250. So that would be 142,000 approximately.
It's like 197.
The nuns said, "I'm not going to tech."
So a couple hundred thousand if we add the 50, if we would consider Buxton?
Very roughly. There's another approximate 80-some top of the 100 points with regard to the grade consult. So that would be about 220 or so. And then there's Buxton contract at the end, which is not necessarily TID related, but citywide.
And Mark's got his hand up because he's going to tell you that these are reimbursable costs to a TID generally if we approve the TIDs after the research is done.
And with regard to 27th Street, which would be the 87,250 plus 14,000 plus maybe 1,000 to the Department of Revenue because of a TID overlay district creation. So that's roughly 100,000 of that would be payable by existing increment funding available from tax, existing tax incremental District 4.
Correct. Mr. Roberto.
So I think from the non-TID portion that I believe when Paul and I looked at it, the city portion, if you're including the filing fees with the state, you take it all the way to the end. I think it worked out to about $137.5, not including the Buxton portion.
Okay.
We consider that at risk should the council not decide to proceed with doing the development. So if the council decides to move on with the development, then you get the money back, generally.
Right. Okay.
Is that it?
Yes.
Alderman Miller.
Well, there also are some expenses on page 19 that I didn't hear discussed. It says expenses that are not included in our scope of service, and it lists several bullet points, and there are other fees. And so I don't know what all those costs are because they're not broke down. They're not broken down on that page. So it says client responsibility. So it would be nice to have those figures at some point, hopefully before we dive into this too far. The one thing I noted is as far as the money to move forward, the 27th Street area has the ability to use the existing TID if we do that for a future TID. The other two districts have to come from contingency. And it occurred to me that our most recent budget, a mayor had shifted a lot of money out of our contingency funds. So, you know, we haven't quite voted on that budget yet, but maybe Paul could address what would be the status if we moved all that money and lowered our contingency, and now we want to do this and we need contingency funds, and will we drop below our contingency amount in each fund if we do that?
Alderman, the city administrator and I had that conversation recently on this very topic. The contingency budget in 2014 is $125,000. That's in the existing year. All of those funds are currently available for appropriation. So if the council took action before the end of December to engage one or more of these consultants, that contingency budget would be available. Then in 2015, the contingency budget, I believe, is slightly less than the 125, but it's at least 120,000. So there's additional contingency funds available should the Common Council take action with respect to additional consultants in 2015. But there is the timing of the issue relative to January 1st and one budget versus another budget. Mr. Roberto.
So any contract used against the contingency appropriations this year will encumber those funds, lock those funds up, and won't use any part of next year's contingencies. So any action you take this year where you then encumber it, you're not affecting or using up next year's contingency. That budget remains the same and available because we'll encumber the funds.
Okay. If those are also features that we should have, so we have an understanding of that, because especially before we vote on completely on the budget, we're going to want to know where we sit with all of that. At least I will want to know where we sit with all that.
You had your monthly financial report at last night's meeting, and throughout the year we've discussed that, and you've discussed some fund balance numbers and levels within the budget discussions. So as you're aware, our total fund balance is up near the higher end, up near the 30%. So committing and encumbering $125,000 is not likely to have any significant impact in the bottom line between 2014 or 2015. So you have available appropriation that you can encumber, and you won't be impacting 2015 budget demands. And if something else comes up then, you'll still have that appropriation available.
And for the appropriation, we're going to need to know some of these other costs. So we need to know where these need to come out of.
To award the contract, You would not necessarily have to pick up unspecified costs, but as they occurred and came up, you would need to identify the appropriation at that time. So as they get deeper into the project, if there's some of these things become available, they can be addressed. If it's still in 2014, we have the non-authorized contingency that could still become authorized. And if it's all crossed over January 1st, then you have the full year's contingency available in 2015 to be able to use. So since those are none of those sort of unspecified contractual costs tend to ever amount typically to more than 5 to 10% of a total contract. If at all, it will easily fit within 2015 appropriations if some come up.
Okay. Let's rewind and be clear. Oliver Wilhelm suggested that there was a reduction for the 2015 budget in the contingency. That is not, as we discussed, not correct. And the thought was is that I was using contingency money to pay for capital items. That, as well, is not correct. I'm using the fund balance over it, what I call an overage in the fund balance, to pay for those capital items. So the net budget has no substantial significant changes in it from 2014, which is why we have a zero levy increase. So you still have the floor.
Well, we did the changes in the contingency fund, and I would like to have a closer look at how that comes out.
No problem.
Especially if we're going to be committing and using and needing to do that.
Did it?
You don't want to hear what I have to say, so I'll just sit here and be quiet. Because I feel like I can't express myself the way I would like to, because it's not comfortable, and it's I don't know. I don't really know where we're going with this. I like the idea of what we're doing. I think it's great that we're moving forward. I have some concerns about some of the areas. Some of the contracts I think are a little heavy on cost at this point. I thought the one contract was 61 pages or something, and I couldn't really get out of that, the complete scope of services. And there were some things in there that I felt our staff could be and should be doing. And so I think that deserves a look. We're not supposed to say what we said in closed session, but we're out here in the public now. So there was several members that were ready to move forward some time ago with certain areas, and we don't seem to be going in that direction. I don't know if, now we're kind of working at all three of them. I have the concerns about, can we handle all three, just like Alderman Schmidt? And probably one of my biggest concerns is, are we looking at all the pros and cons of the developable area, and what about the school taxes? And that is something that you and I have never really agreed upon, as far as I think we should be putting more of our residential in the Oak Creek side and putting more of our business in the Franklin side to help balance out the taxes for the people. And I don't hear us discussing that. I don't see that in much of the documents about those costs. And I just wish we would have a little bit more discussion on more of what the community wants and community building. And that's what I'm here for. That's why I ran, was to help the community and help it become a place that I want to be, that residents enjoy being, and a lot of focus in the documents and in the meetings we've had have been on more on the 27th Street area. And I feel as if we move forward with all three, the other two areas won't get the attention that they deserve and that the constituents have been asking for a long time. And I don't feel I have any confidence that that would not be true. And I don't know if there's something you can say or to help me with that, but I'm looking at the cost. I put out spreadsheets on the current business park. Costs were $26.6 million. The increment back was $1 million in revenue. Future business park, it ends up being the same, is estimated $1 million in revenue. Yeah, we could do the 76 in Rawson and the Loomis area for about $6 million versus 26.6, which the previous business park cost, and the two together would net us about $1 million. So the same. So you could do two projects for a lot less cost than the previous business park and net about the same, and it's in the proper school district. And I like that. I like that idea a lot. I know it's not what you want, though.
No,
I know, but I know where you stand on this. I know that you have the 27th Street is your passion, and it has been. It's been through this whole process, and I know you're not, you know, warm and fuzzy about what I have to say, but I just feel I need to express that. So.
The reality is that you have three packages in front of you that represent the desires and stated wishes of all of you. Retail, Loomis Road, 27th for most of us. So we try to be all things to all people. And frankly, I support all three of these packages. Actually, the one that excites me the most in terms of its uniqueness is the Loomis Road project, because it's unique. But I ran for mayor. I talked to a lot of people. And just about all of them said, we need to get moving. We need some development. We need some good development. They also said, we need some restaurants. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, and I want to be 150 pounds lighter. So, you know, so we work on that. I look at all of the work that's been done in the past, and frankly, I'm not one to disregard that. All of the consultants and all of the phone calls that I've been getting says our best chance for success for development is the 27th and Oakwood. It's been that way forever. Fair, Mike?
Yes.
Sorry. And nothing we're doing here in these three packages changes what was developed in the Comprehensive Master Plan. In the Comprehensive Master Plan, I'm the only one here that went through that.
No, I was here.
You'll recall then that the Comprehensive Master Plan had a substantial number of individual group meetings with each neighborhood. So people have had input as to what this is. There isn't any zoning changes that I can think of off the top of my head. So this is, I readily admit, this is a bold package. But this is a bold package that's 12 years overdue. This shouldn't be all at once. Let me rephrase that. It shouldn't have to be all at once. But the market conditions today dictate get going. We had an opportunity. Not we didn't even have an opportunity to have an impact on 76th and Rawson, and potentially get it to make a development that we would all like. I had nothing to talk about. So we get what we get, and you'll find out very shortly that there's now going to be a dollar store where Sentry's was. I had no negotiating. I had nothing to do because my hands were tied. Mike likes to talk about Stella and Chewy's going to Oak Creek. They would have been better off here. The owner lives, well, part-time in Muskego. Had nowhere to put them. Didn't even have the conversation because we had nowhere to go. We got to get moving, okay? Now, I understand this is scary stuff. I get that. It's a big deal. It's a lot of money. But it's not like we haven't been here before. We hire good partners, get in partnership with good partners. We've got excellent staff that knows how to do this stuff. I've been around the block. I haven't started a TIF district on my own. I haven't started a business park development on my own. I've done TIF districts. But it's not new territory. You got to take it step by step. And right now, what we have in front of us is the first step. It'll allow you folks to make the decision at hopefully some point in the very near future, go or no go. Easy. Saying the words is easy, coming to the decisions. So, yeah, there's a lot of details to be worked out. I got to tell you, as the mayor, the chief executive officer of the city, it's my responsibility to make sure that we don't overload our staff with work that could be done and reimbursed by others. And frankly, I won't let that happen. Our city attorney's got other things to do than do economic development stuff for us. But he's got a passion for it, even though he won't admit it. See, I told you, he wouldn't admit it. and there's a lot of cool stuff in here, and it's going to put us back on the map. You know, the one thing that we all get tired of hearing. What's the one thing we all get tired of hearing? Mark, what's going on in Oak Creek? You're not going to, if you guys make the decision, it's going to be what's happening in Franklin from now for the next 15 years. And so, you know, that's enough of the speechify. But in terms of the issues that you have on individual contracts, we need to work those out. I agree with you.
Okay.
But let's do that when we get to the contracts. Alderman Malone.
Well, in relation to the dollar store, this council was ready to move forward on 76th Street. And we didn't. So we had that opportunity. We were sitting in here, and we all wanted even a show of hands on that to move forward with it. So, and I'm not saying 100% on here, but I was in that meeting. We were, Alderman Mayer was the one who kicked it off to begin with and said, let's go, and we didn't do anything. Because it wasn't what you wanted to do at the time. So we could move forward with 76th Street. I'd be good with that. Get the first phase with Ehlers and a limited scope with Grafe. We don't need to do much further than that, and at least start with coming back with that, because to me that's the only part that's really ready to go. Their contract is pretty clear. It's the other contract for the other area that needs a lot more work. So if you wanted to start with just something and get something today, I could support that. And then we could come back with, you know, the rest of it for cleaning up the one contract for the other one and moving forward with the next phase. They've got it broken down so we can do it each phase with Ehlers. We don't have to do it all at once. We don't have to do all three at once if we wanted to go today, because I don't think the contracts are quite ready for all of them right now.
I get the phone calls. We need to send a strong signal to the market that we're back in the game.
I didn't say eliminate it.
We need to tell people that we're in the game. Okay? So, I understand that there's issues with some of the language in the contract. We can fix that language in each of the agenda items by referring it back to staff, and you guys can participate in a limited number, and we'll get it fixed. But my preference is, I put this in front of you because I'm getting the calls, and I need to be able to talk to these people. And there is interest. There is interest. And the longer we wait, the farther behind we get. We've waited 12 years. Let's move forward on all of them. We'll fix the contract issues. Okay. You still have the floor. Even though I interrupted you. I didn't interrupt you. I just talked to you.
What we have in Franklin, or don't have in Franklin right now, was dependent on the leadership as a whole in the past. And I think we as leaders now have to work together as a whole to get this development moving forward. And I'm in favor of moving forward now. And as far as Franklin Public School District. I mean, we have three school districts we have to deal with, but Franklin Public Schools realizes that we have the 70-30 goal and we're not there yet, but they, I've talked about this with the administration, and they realize it fluctuates up and down. It's not always going to be equal. As long as it doesn't go totally off kilter, I mean it's fine right now. There's a 0% tax levy this year for Franklin Public Schools. So, Oak Ridge School District, they have a tax levy this year, so I just don't see the problem.
Let's go to any other general comments relative to A. Alderwoman Mayer.
For the Loomis Road, for the Ryan and Loomis Road project, my understanding from my conversation with Newport Development that they weren't aware that we were moving in this direction this quickly. They're not exactly sure where they stand in all of this as far as their vision for their development. From the city attorney's presentation, it doesn't match up with what Newport Development's development presentation was. And I think that they would be a little bit surprised at the limitation that you'd be putting on them. I'm kind of surprised at it, too. I think that needs to be discussed. I don't know how you can execute an agreement where you're going to spend this kind of money on these Ellers and Grape and everybody, when you don't have a developer agreement covering the development costs and that kind of thing. I don't feel as though they've been included in on this very well. I don't know, Mr. Mayor, if you've been in contact with them at all to include them in on this?
I have not. City attorney has.
Okay.
Mr. Secretary. Suzanne.
He can answer that.
Mr. City Attorney.
Only that it was a very rough concept. There's the representative from Bear Realty was here. We had a brief sit down, maybe 45 minutes or an hour one day. Talked about put the general map down, talked about the general area, said maybe residential here, talked about a 50% standard under the TIC. Under the tax incremental district law, got had questions from the representative in the audience, and I sent an email the next morning with a copy of the map talking about my references to the 50% standard, and that it includes industrial use, and that's where the standard came from. Also, it could be 50% conservation work, et cetera, et cetera. It's in writing. And it was left for further discussion because there's all these different areas going on. And I understood they've got a pending contract. I heard that due diligence was going on. I heard positive reaction and in general, and smiles and handshakes, and that they were proceeding towards completing due diligence for the purchase of the property. And that's where it's at. And when it's around the clock, almost every waking moment on all this stuff, try and call everybody. I could show you lists of the people that get called on this new development area, and for every single move, including Friday when the agenda finally got done. And in my general file here, I've got a clicker about like that where I made notes, and it took from 4:30 to almost 5:30 just to forward the agenda and attachments to everybody, and then there was a mistake on the date, so they all got to resend. And with the big expensive new computers, it still took forever for the sends to be completed. So we're doing the best we can. That's why we're looking at consults. And if I can spread that out a little bit with regard to the cost itemization in the Ehlers contract on page 19, client responsibility. Okay, here's your costs. Client, meaning city. Services rendered by engineers, planners, surveyors, appraisers. There are no surveyors, appraisers in the city except for engineering department. Assessors, lawyers, auditors, anybody else the city hires. Well, that's what we've been doing on this stuff, so those costs are already there. Preparation of maps. Okay, how many times did I bother Mr. Dito and Department of City Development for maps on this stuff, including through Friday afternoon? That's a cost. What's the cost of that? Staff's at work anyway. The city attorney's way over budget. He's not going to get paid for it. His law firm may be paid for it because it's over budget. Publication charge for the notice of public hearing and notices of joint review. It's a public notice. Every single this meeting, somebody paid for the public notice. The taxpayers did. It's in the city budget. So you pay for public hearing notices for this. Legal opinion that the project plan contains all required elements. Been there, done that. The list I read at the start of the meeting, kind number and location of proposed improvements, that it has an economic feasibility. You go through the statute, it has, I don't know, some 13, 14, 15 items, and you look at the plan, make sure it's all there, and then you write a one-page, two-paragraph letter saying the plan meets all statutory requirements. Preparation of district meets and bounds. Engineering department does a legal description for the engineer. Department of Revenue filing fee. That's what I mentioned earlier, $1,000. Those are the costs on page 19. So I understand everything. I'm not going to get into policy here, but I got to keep working on it. But this general stuff is time-consuming, and it's somebody's got to make a decision on one of these. Council has to say go or no go, so the focus can be on the detail. And when it comes to the consultants, they man the laboring oar at that point. Ask Shelley Runty's here. Ask her how many conversations we had where I'm 100 miles an hour because I got to call 12 other people that day just to keep things moving along, because I'm hearing, well, if we would have got this done, then this wouldn't have happened, or this might have happened. And it ultimately reaches a point for decision. And in terms of numbers, and like I said, I don't care if the answers are all no, they're all yes, or it's 2-1 or whatever. But if you want to throw numbers out there, somebody can correct me if there was somebody here back around the turn of the century. Was the total cost of the Tintner study, R.A. Smith, R.A. Smith, the three-prong, and wasn't there a plant? Just the studies and the Saturday meetings, I might have only went to one or two. It was almost the entire common council every week. I think the city of Franklin spent $500,000 thereabouts, if not more, on these plans. And they're there. So it ultimately reaches a point, do you want to do it or not?
Well, it does kind of bring me to the point. Everything's really expensive. Why are we going with these people? At the last presentation that you gave, you were pretty much told that these are the people that we're going to use on each one of these projects, and there's no bid process, there's no nothing. It's these people who work with the city of Franklin all the time and just expect that we're going to work with them. Why don't they put these out to bid and have them be competitive, get honest, and why are we using these particular companies without going out to bid? Because if I go to my constituents and they ask me something like that, and I say, we didn't even go out to bid.
Let me make a general statement first. Over the last couple of months, I've heard words come from all of us that may not have been properly thought of. You just indicated that the bids we had weren't honest, and the people that gave them weren't honest.
It's a figure of speech.
I understand that, but we all hold positions of authority, and what we say means something. So let's all be careful of the words we use and how we talk about that's general.
Just that, with regard to suggested consults, that was county council direction to staff to consider, come back with recommendations. The list of recommendations was read, and it wasn't everybody was a go, and all the goals had little check marks on them. That's where the names came from. There's no way on earth that any local government staff tells the governing body what to do. It's up to the council.
And relative, I mean, we could bid all of this stuff, but we're going to add 3 months to the schedule. And the market keeps moving forward, and we keep not. Each one of these people, each one of these firms is reputable. They've done Ehlers is the go-to TIF accountants. They do everybody. They are it. MLG, we've got a 28-year history with MLG. Good history with them. Okay, we can go out and bid that if you'd like. Quarles and Brady. Man, Silk Stocking Law Firm. I don't know how you get better advice than that, but if you want to, we can do that. No, it's fine. It's what you decide. Grafe, another one. Grafe and Ruger. I don't want to not compliment the other competitors out there, but these are the top two engineering and consulting firms in the area. We can go to Chicago if you want. It's what you want, but as Jesse highlighted, the council said, go forth into consults, come back, and we'll discuss it then. As for why we don't get bids, these are professional services contracts. We use these firms because they give us the product that we ask them for at what we consider a fair price. Their hourly rates are published, and we know what everybody else's are. So it's not like anybody's... We may quibble over the scope of work, but the hourly rates, they are what they are. And if you don't want to take my word for it, go buy your new city engineer a lunch and chat with him about how this all works, because that's where he came from. So you still have the floor.
Well, last night we were strongly encouraged by you to hear these proposals, and that we owed it to our constituents to give the Buxton resolution 24 hours before we would vote on it. And I really feel as though the information in here is something that probably demands as much time and a lot more. Like Alderman Wilhelm said, we got this on Friday. So a lot of information to go through and to be able to make a decision on that. I'm not very comfortable trying to make a decision that quickly. As far as the my area with the Loomis and Ryan Road, I kind of feel as though two projects that could go on down there are standalone projects. It wasn't something that anyone asked for as far as the TIF district. Newport Development came in. They were going to pay for everything to have their development done. The church and Kayla's crew, I went to them asking if you know, they would want to partner with the city because we have the impact fees to use. And all of a sudden it's turned into something that I feel is, you know, much bigger than... And I guess it needed to be. I wonder about, you know, the development that could happen there as far as industrial, just from my conversations with developers as far as that being an industrial area. I'm on, you know, I understand that the Ticker report says that, but it also says that it's a perhaps as an industrial park. So I don't think that that's in stone, that it needs to be that kind of a kind of an area, and I would just appreciate that there would be more residential development the way Ray presented it, and, you know, not just down 112th Street or whatever. So I just need him to have more participation in that part of it. Probably not.
We can always come back.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
Now, what I'm hearing is that you're nitpicking on $300,000 on a large plan of something that could exceed over $500 million worth of benefit improvement to the community in all three projects. So we're talking less than 1/1,000th of a percent of money to determine if we're going to move forward. And you don't even want to utilize or allow $300,000, so we've got developers out here that are waiting to see what our decision is. They're the ones that are taking the bigger risk than we are. And we're debating on spending $300,000 to not even get onto the ballpark yet, but to open the door. So, come on. I think there are people that are interested in, let's move forward. And we've got to look at all three, because as Alderman Wilhelm mentioned, yes, we could do the two smaller projects and forgo the bigger project, but the bigger project has the quickest, probably, response rate or success rate. So we're hoping that with all three projects going on, that you can have a bigger or quicker response to the whole community.
Has the developer already there, willing to put in a lot.
Let's do one at a time.
I'm just saying. You're saying that it's not even, you know, it's the quicker response. I don't know of anything that's ready to go in at the business part. You know, you get all these phone calls. I don't hear anything about any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, please come to us looking to be in the business part.
Let's let Mark finish. He had the floor, and then come back to you.
Well, since the people heard that response, I'll respond back to it.
Let's not. Okay. Let's
okay.
Go, address me.
Okay.
And let's
well, nice as I mentioned, the 27th Street corridor would have a faster potential to fill and be successful, mimicking the success that we had in our first business park. And with its location to the interstate, that is going to be very attractive to businesses. And I think we've heard discussion from developers that would solidify that comment. We are committed to looking at the Rawson and 76th Street corridor because we want to improve that retail corridor and the area down Loomis. We're committed to doing that. We're committed to all three of those because each and every one of us had a particular interest. And I think staff and the consultants that we're working with are more than able to be able to meet our timelines to move forward and have these successful. That's it.
Mayor.
I just don't want Kayla's crew to be held up because of, you know, a decision not being made tonight or, you know, in the near future, maybe a month or whatever, because they are moving forward and need to move forward, and promised them that they would do that. So I'd like a clarification on, I guess I need a clarification on that development.
Which, not Kayla's?
Right.
That's what I said earlier. Goes independent. Here's a real, sorry, but I do things simplistically. Here's the 27th Street development file. Not the entirety, but the last two or three months. Here's the retail area file. Here's the file that's, I call it Gen T, General TID. It's all three areas. There's your Loomis Road, Kayla's file. It's what, four times, five times thicker than the other two developments. So, trying to get there. And I said earlier, council said go on Kayla's, and it works with the impact fees, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just how many hours are in a day. And I'm starting to shift stuff over to planning because the question's coming in to me. You know, I'm just a dumb lawyer. I can't tell you exactly what the Parks Commission needs in their agenda packet. Talk to Mr. Sumwalt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that relationship has to get going. Just like when somebody files a development application, you got to go through the normal city departments. So, yeah, that's not a stop. The only issue there would be public sewer.
Yeah. Okay, we talk about a developer having interest on a particular group of parcels, and we'd like to encourage that. We had a concept review. Concept review, because of the nature of the way we do them, left the developer, in my view. Some say it was clear it was supposed to be business park. Others say, it wasn't so clear. I thought maybe residential. So that's up to the developer. But the reality is this. The area in the comprehensive master plan designates that as an industrial park, business park. In order to get residential in that zoning district, because he's proposing lots of changes, he needs to comply with the comprehensive master plan, or we need to change the master plan. So to hang... put at risk the comprehensive master plan and this parcel and the ideas that we have for this parcel because of one person, I don't know that that's a good way to treat the citizens of the city who all have a stake in this. Okay.
He's the developer.
He's not the developer. I don't have a proposal. We don't have a proposal from him. Not a developer until you come in with a piece of paper and say, okay. And it's not there. And I apologize. I don't want to, it
don't want to be condescending. I don't want to talk down to anyone. I just I've got experience in this that I'm trying to help out. So relative to revenue, relative to the residential aspect, we're fortunate this year that both the school district, Franklin Schools, and the city have a zero levy increase. But I ask you all to, again, go to page 12 of the packet, read it, understand it, and know that you cannot put kids in Franklin School District and make money on it and balance your tax base. You can't. And the numbers are right there. Suzanne.
It is all you're going to do from this day forward, except for a little bit of business development, is to put residential in the Franklin School District.
Yeah.
Because that's the only place for them to go.
I agree
because
with you.
Because you won't put them in the Oak Creek School District.
No. I get real sensitive when people put words in my mouth. It drives me nuts, actually. Here's the story. The story is that the seven of us work for 35,000 residents, not any school district, okay? So we have a responsibility to our individual districts, our individual aldermanic districts. I have an overall responsibility to the city first, and then the overall city. Nowhere in your responsibility does it say that you have to watch out for the finances of the school districts, whatever one you want to watch out for. Development goes where development can occur. Residential goes where residential can occur. Yes, we're going to get a vast majority of residential development in the Franklin Public School District because that's where the land is and that's where the school district happens to be, which just screams for having no residential in the mix on the Loomis Road project and do it all industrial. But I'm here to tell you, I'd like to be flexible, and that's why when the city attorney came to me and said, let's do this traditional neighborhood concept, that's pretty cool. We can get mileage out of that. We can meet our goals. We can have some residential in there. It's great. So, I take offense when people say, I want something to go somewhere without having it come out of my mouth. Truth is, the Oak Creek Franklin School District, there's very little spots that we can develop residential in. Look at the map. This is not magic. And again, I ask that all of you, this is big stuff. I understand some of you are just a little on edge about it. I get that. But I'm hoping that we can all see the vision here and do what's best for the entire city. Alderman Wilhelm, then I'm going to ask for a motion from Mr. Swindles.
You know, I'm trying to be supportive and cooperative of your vision and but listening here tonight, listening in all the closed sessions I've been in, Mayor Olson, you have not even tonight said anything positive about the 76th area. You've said you like that one, and you continue to fall back on the 27th. This brings me to my concern, which I keep and continue to voice, that you are 27th Street, period. That's where you want to go. And unless this council takes you there, we can't move forward. And that's the same feeling I've gotten in all the rest of my meetings. That's the same feeling I'm getting tonight. I'm saying let's move forward. We've got 76th Street. We've got Buxton we could have hired. We've got, you know, the whole businesses out there that are crying for our help to retain them and spruce that area up. And we continue to shove that one aside. And while you keep saying you support all of them, you want to meet forward with all of them, I keep trying to find something that you're doing that does that. saying you're supporting them is one thing. Doing something that shows you support them is what's going to buy my confidence that you are willing to put in as much effort into that area as the other area that you're so very passionate about.
Let the record reflect that Alderman Mayer has left his seat. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You said to Suzanne that there was no development. The developer came before us with a concept plan. You said there's no place for houses in the Oak Creek School District when I know the school district map very well. Once you get to Highway 100, it's no longer from 35th Street over to 27th Street. It goes all the way over to 51st Street, down to the county line. That would be a great place to put houses because we would get the count, but we wouldn't have to put them in the school district. And many times, previous mayors, they all say 27th Street will develop on its own. And with Oak Creek coming in and all they're doing, I strongly believe that's even more true today than it was in the past. The land is there. The water and sewer is there. If someone wants to buy the Wendt property and develop it, they can. We don't need a TIF district to do that concept of fully support development on 27th Street. But the area that's struggling is 76 in Rawson, and I don't think it's going to go without help. I think we need to support the businesses we have. And I don't think we're doing a very good job on that. And so just on the 76th Street area, I have the pros and cons that I laid out. I'm not seeing that we have to purchase any land. We might have to purchase land on the 27th Street. It meets the people's request. It also includes equipment revenue hotel tax, which the other area probably won't. That's a big revenue source for us. It supports existing businesses. It's in the Franklin School District. It has less water and sewer needs. We don't have to put the infrastructure in as we do over on the other one. A TID is extremely helpful there. I don't know that some people see that as a pro or a con, so we could debate that one for some people. But it definitely builds community for the long haul. And people don't even really know the business parts exist. It also provides some jobs, maybe not as much as this proposal for Suzanne District. That's supposed to be the most job creation area. So that's a little bit of a con where it's not quite as job heavy, but it does have jobs, so it's still positive. And the biggest con I see is it's hard work because there's competition. And I don't want to just take the easy way out in a place that's already going to probably develop on its own just because it's simpler. It doesn't provide some of the things. So here's my list on pros and cons on this one.
On
this one what? On the 27th Street area. I don't know for sure, but there may be land purchase involved. That's a cost. We don't receive as much revenue from type equipment type if it's going to be a certain type of business. Now, that's all dependent on the business. So those are a gray area. The total developable acreage on that place is quoted to be pretty high, but what we're missing in our package is the green map that shows this is probably the most heavily endowed environmental area we have. So the acreage is not correct, that's totally developable. It's the area we want to do with Phase 1 starting is not even visible from 27th Street. It's way over here, and we've got businesses that we're either going to have to buy out or live with, which means the types of business that are going to be over here are probably going to be less than we thought we were going to have. So the pros are the simplicity of the project, because it said you've done one before. There are jobs. There are some jobs with that. The pros that it will develop on its own. And that makes it less of a risk. On the con side, it's the development from not visible from 27th Street. It requires significant amount of roads, water and sewer. A TID district is required in this area if we're going to do these types of expense, which are at $14 million. Existing businesses will affect the quality of the building value. It is in the Oak Creek School District. It does not build on a community, and there is nothing very exciting about it. And it takes housing acreage away that we could be relieving the school district from. And so that's what doesn't excite me about that. And I saw you nod your head almost everything that I said, and I don't think that you disagree with a lot of that. But yet it's a very, very passionate project for you. I can't find that passion. I am willing to move forward with a project. I'm willing to move forward. I've been willing to move forward. But if it's not your project, it's not seeming to go anywhere. Can you help us move forward with the 76th Street project? Will you help us move forward with that project? Or will you not move forward unless you get 27th Street?
Let's do it this way. First of all, if I didn't believe in the sentence in the detailed part portion of this package, you think I'd be in here?
You know you want our support.
If didn't, you know me better than that by now. If I didn't support it, it wouldn't be in here. I do support it. And actually, I agree with 99.5% of what you said as positives. There's a bunch of negatives, too, but, you know, you can get past those. For the retail portion, as it relates to the discussion about 27th Street, I don't know how I can get the council to come to understand the numbers. But if you look at page 12 in your packet, that might help. We're talking $16,736 of net revenue to the city per acre on a business development, and less than $2,000 on a residential. I'm going to say this. I don't care if we build another house in the Oak Creek School District. It doesn't matter. I'm not interested in penalizing them, and I'm not interested in incurring more cost for the city to service those homes. It doesn't make financial sense to me to take business park and commercial land and turn it residential. That's the same. I do this every time. That's losing money on every sale and making it up on volume. It just makes no financial sense. Now, you made a comment that what I know as Area D will develop on its own. Mike?
No, if that was true, the original business park would have developed on its own before the city could have come in and did what it did.
The reality is that the Wendt property has been for sale off and on for years. The problem is that you cannot do a business development unless you aggregate the land and you have like interests surrounding you. And that's just not going to happen independently in that corner. It's not just me saying that. It's consultant reports, which, frankly, I keep hearing people say, it's all, don't worry about it. But they're the consultants. They are the people that know. So here's the deal. You'll get one-third of the support for each of the packages. You give me one-third of the support for each of the packages. You support the other two, I'll support yours. Mr. LeBert, that's exactly what you asked me to do, Mr. LeBert.
If I can, because there's been some statements concerning how these projects could move forward and the amount of work there, so and the priorities of them. So if I could give a little bit of staff perspective. The way these contracts are set out, one reason it took the number of weeks that it did to have this meeting, get it put together, is because Jesse tried to package all of it together. It clearly would have been easier to probably package them. Here's the 27th Street project and all the contracts necessary. Here's the retail project, and let each stand on its own. But it was clear from the discussions that different aldermen had different priorities. All of them were called out as probably the three top opportunities in the master plan, and they all were serving a different role. So what staff heard was, you know what, as absurd as it might sound, let's figure out how to move them all forward because there was support in different areas. So the contracts are structured to make that happen. The contracts aren't broke up to individual projects. They're broke up, you know, the Ehlers is in all three. You give Ehlers a contract, they're not going to ignore two-thirds of the money and just do one. And each of those contracts is set up in phases such that all throughout the process, from here till potentially, and we're going to say hopefully, applications are filed with the state, you know, because we've got all the way through the last stage, the Common Council is going to control those. There's phases in there. And if one project gets too far ahead and it looks like the consultants are ignoring it, the Common Council will have every ability to say, we're not ready to move on that. We want to see what's in the other two. Why don't you turn your focus on there and get that caught up with the other one? So each of the contracts is set up with phases such that as a council, you'll be able to make sure all of them move forward together and no one is getting individual priority. Because you are using consultants, staff is going to be able to oversee that. Staff will understand clearly, and they did, and that's why the contracts were set this way and grouped this way, that we need to make sure the work's occurring in that way. If we allow it to happen in just one area, ignoring the others, all we know as we do is we put any one piece or all of them at risk. So I believe the way the city attorney packaged it for the board is set up to reach not only the top three priorities in the master plan, but the top three concerns that everybody brought together. And by using the consultants the way we did and anticipating an economic development director, filling our city engineer position, I think we're in a position to be able to say all of that work can be overseen and mastered because the consultants are going to do it. We just need to make sure they're keeping all the phases of all of them going. So from a staff perspective, it is set up so that your concerns that the mayor in some way is going to direct this so only the project that he has the greatest priority on, and he stated that, that's his most interesting one, is going to happen. I don't know any of those consultants that's going to ignore two-thirds of a contract because they like that hourly rate. They love to bill it out. I help process the bills every month, and I'm sure they will keep all of those projects going. And as staff, we know that's what each of the aldermen expects because that's how these got grouped together. And since they all match the master plan, it makes perfect sense. So instead of harvesting one piece of fruit, we've picked the whole tree, but we've set up in the structure we can do it. So from a staff perspective, I think your concerns are addressed.
No, because my question was, will you help us move forward on 76th Street? And the answer was, you will get my support if you give one-third. So it wasn't, if we wanted to vote and move on 76th Street, the answer was contingent upon our support for 27th. That was the answer he just gave us. By saying, yes, if you get the, if you get one third, I get one third. That was his answer. It was not, yes, if the council wants to move forward with 76th Street, I'm fully here to support you on that. It was contingent, one third contingency. And that is what I've been saying all along. And that's why we're not getting anywhere. We, you know, I don't know. I guess show of hands, is anybody would interested in? I know, and this is what happened before, because we wanted to do this before. We
it's
wanted
not
to say
legal to do a show of hands. That's a de facto it, vote.
Well,
let me just respond. I keep trying to lay the blame off onto me.
Let's take a real vote.
The reality is I put everything in front of you on a number of occasions to move forward. And what I hear is the mayor doesn't want this or that, when it's patently not true. And then I hear a passion from Alderman Wilhelm about one specific area and discounting everything else. No. So in essence, what you're doing is exactly what you accused me of doing, when in fact I'm not doing it. I'm sitting here saying these are my three packages. These have my full support. All three of them have my full support. But I'm hearing you want to negotiate out the other stuff. So how is that fair? How can you ask me to say, Kristen, go for it, 76th Street, but it's okay. I don't. You don't have to do any of the other ones.
Do you want me to answer that? I think it's a good faith effort based on the fact that you've not appointed people to the Economic Development Commission, that you've held up the commission.
Don't get into that right now, because that's going to be a pointed conversation.
Well, you ask me how I'm concluding that, and I'm telling you. And, you know, if you're Mr. I'm all about economic development, I support everything, but yet you're holding the Economic Development Committee hostage by not appointing people to let us get going. And it's kind of the same thing you're doing with moving forward with 76th Street. So I know it's your way. It has to be. And the only way that you see you're going to get your votes is to make us do all three. And
so what you just said was you're not willing to do the other two.
I'm not. No. I didn't say that.
You did just say that.
No.
You did just
I actually like I like the one over in Suzanne's district. I don't know if this is the alderman of the district. She really likes it. My least favorable is the 27th Street one. Because of the fact that 27th Street is being tore up. It's going to be like that. There's no Elm Road access yet. And all the other reasons that I gave. And I thought, okay, well, you know, if we could go forward with something, we could go forward with something I think most of us could agree on. But we...
Okay, here's the reality. April, I asked to do a task, which was refresh the ticket report. I met with some developers. First thing out of their mouth, do you have any market study data? No, we don't have that. You guys made that decision. That's fine. But then I came and said, we need to restructure the Economic Development Commission, which we did with some changes. But my intention there was very clear. I knew there would be issues to appointments. So what did I do? I put a clause in, and I wrote that. City attorney corrected it. I wrote that with a specific clause in there. Did you have a meeting last Monday night? The answer is yes.
Actually, I put that in there. The quorum issue. It was why we put it on there. Yeah.
So the EDC, contrary to what's been written, is not hobbled. But I do have a huge issue with the criteria that I now have to use to appoint people. So you're absolutely right. You're not going to see appointments for a long time until this council gets the appointment criteria down. Because now the bar is set based on what you said, and you did, it's on the record, set at such a high
Mayor, I don't make policy. I'm one person. You can't,
Alderman
we didn't
Wilhelm,
even vote
please.
On that. Well, don't say that.
It's true. It's absolutely true because of your issue. So, to say that I don't support the 76th Street is disingenuous at best.
Well, let's move forward with it then.
Mr. Askins, you agree? I'm putting you on the spot here, but...
This isn't my meeting.
Yeah.
If it were me, I'd vote on what you agree on and move forward.
Yeah, right, right.
Okay. Does anyone wish to hear from the development community?
Yes.
Is there a motion to suspend the vote?
Alderman Evans has had her hand
up
for a while.
I didn't see it.
I apologize.
Alderman
Evans.
I just have one quick comment that I'm sure we all have each of these projects that we have preferences for. I know I do. I have a preference for a certain one, but I was actually going to then make a motion that we suspend the rules. But I just wanted to say that I have a preference, but I don't want to take one out. So.
But here's the deal. It's okay for you guys to have preferences, but not me. So.
No, I didn't say that.
But
I'm just saying that we
all... I'm not putting words in your mouth. That's what I'm hearing. Is there a motion to suspend the rules?
Motion.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is there anyone wishing to speak? Mr. Rooney, name and address, please, for the record.
Michael Rooney, Heartland, Wisconsin, Bruce Bruce. I think all of these projects have potential. And without preference to any one of them, I only want to address the issue of school districts. And I want to repeat something I said at a meeting a few months ago of the council. And I think it was backed by Mr. Bartles, unsolicitedly. The marketplace doesn't care what school district the community wants to develop residentially or business or whatever. The marketplace goes where its needs are serviced. So wanting residential where it doesn't fit, or wanting businesses to go where it doesn't work for them, doesn't work. So if you want developments that you're going to invest time and effort and consultant money and so on, you need to put them where the marketplace is clear it would be interested in participating there and investing their equity, taking mortgages out, hiring people, committing personal commitments on debt and other things to location somewhere where they can be successful. And we can't let preferences about school districts and the kind of development that would go there have anything to do with making these choices.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Zimmer, please.
Yeah, I agree. The marketplace goes where they're also wanted. You know, I spent $100,000 with you guys in the first go around, and that didn't go well. I've been to the last three meetings. This one, we spent almost 3 hours, and this is dysfunction at its best. So I sit here saying, as a developer, do I want to continue developing in this city? You guys can't create anything. It's a real struggle for me personally. And that's what you should be thinking about, from my point of view.
Mike, we need your address, please.
7237 South Cambridge.
Thank you. Mr. Lindowski.
How many TIFs have been completed and we made money from those TIFs? I think it was only one, and if I understand, we didn't make much money out of it. Is that correct?
No, that's not correct.
What is the issue? Tell me what the answers are.
We've had four TIF districts, TIFs. TIF one was the Old Business Park Phase 2. That was retired 14 years. In 11 years, 14 years ahead of schedule. And I don't have the assessed value for that one, but it's wildly more than the cost of it. TID 2, which is the current business park, generated an increment previously measured. Here, Mark.
The increment was $167,499,000. $100,000, so the amount of tax it generated, I believe, was about $969,621 of new property tax revenue, and that's the city share.
And TID 3
per year, correct,
is the Northwestern Mutual area. That's due to come off soon. And then TID 4 is what we're talking about this evening. So the assumption that we haven't done well with our TIDs is patent with us.
Well, we put a TIF program for Northwestern, and they're one of the richest insurance companies in the world almost. And yet we helped them out, and they got a grant for that 35th Street from the state of Wisconsin to $1 million to build that into a commercial street. I mean, we the poor people of this city, and I'm one of them, I ain't got money, I'm on a set income. We got to put up with this TIF programs to help people come in here and build. I think that that's a shame that the taxpayers won't get any money for what, 15, 20 years out of them. You got three of them going. You want to do that all in one time. And I'm speaking for the seniors and my friends that are still trying to find jobs. The people that can't find jobs in this city, too. But you put a TIF program out there for three different units. I'm opposed to it. When somebody talks about the school district, why would Harley-Davidson put in to the Oak Ridge School District? Because it produces, or they have to pay less taxes in that school district than the rest of the city. And I'm not too sure about Whitnall, how bad that is compared, because that's kind of quiet all the time. But the worst situation, it's a school district we call Oak Ridge Franklin, and we're getting the business on that. We're not doing the new developments, always along that place where they get the better share of the taxes, and in a way, we're paying more taxes than everything on 27th Street. That's not fair.
Thank you, Mr. Franklin. Mr. Marish, name and address, please.
Brian Marish, 8096 South 47th Street. Mr. Zimmerman may be surprised, but I totally agree with him. I sit here and I see how dysfunctional. Specifically, I take a look at Alderman Wilhelm. No, I'm sorry, but what I'm hearing here is she always is claiming to be a person that's
pushing towards
development.
But
I've seen nothing. But on this council, I've seen nothing but roadblocks come up in the way. Every single major thing. You have three choices here. Three. She in past times has deferred to how dysfunctional the state senate and our assembly is, and how they're she's made comments about Scott Walker. What I see here is she
that is I can't stand for lying. That is totally untrue. I won't put up with lies.
To blend
comments.
I'm sorry, but as a citizen, I feel that I should be able to explain my disgust with how this council just refuses to push forward development, which will help my taxes, her taxes, everybody's taxes, and just because there's a preference to what she wants.
Thank you.
Mayor, this is not a preference about what I want. This is not me. I have nothing to personally gain from this. I'm not looking to run for higher office. I'm in this community because I want to be here and I want to offer something. I started off, I volunteered 8.5 years of my life before I ran. I put in thousands of dollars of my own money into this community. And for someone to sit here and make lies about me, when I said I'm ready to move forward with economic development, I'm ready to move forward with something tonight even.
Let's not.
I like what your chair of the Economic Development Committee said. He said, vote, take a vote on what you agree on, and move forward and work out the details on the other ones. That's moving forward. We can do that.
Okay, let's finish here and then we'll move to item B.
But I'm being accused of not wanting economic development. When is that's not the stand I've taken.
Anyone else have a comment from the audience on a non-personal nature? Okay, is there a motion to return?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Let's do this. I'm not going to adjourn the meeting, but let's all, those are terrible chairs. Everybody stand up and relax for a second.
Right. This is kind of hard.
Yeah, but you got that. If the council wants to move forward, which I wholeheartedly endorse. Now that Mr. Schmidt has entered the room, item three. Item 3B. Motion regarding a contract with Ellers and Associates. Motion to adopt a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement with Ellers and Associates for TID creation and amendment professional services with cost applicable to TID 4 area applied to the district and cost applicable to commercial retail development area, mixed-use business, light industrial, commercial residential, nature conservation, and all-inclusive playground public park development area to come from contingency appropriations pending established applicable
to
TID.
I'll second it.
Under discussion, Alderman Wong.
Okay, so the policy is you don't need to call, have the floor to just yell out a vote when someone raises their hand. They don't get preference. Okay.
That's for discussion.
I had my hand up before a motion was made. I said, Mr. Mayor, you recognize me. A vote was shouted out, and a second was made, and I lost the floor.
Only that this contract would be in city form. There's a city form on the Buxton item distributed in the same format, and Ellers knows that. That's why we find it in the motion, because we're going to do that anyway.
Any discussion on the motion?
The motion is to move forward with all three of them in all three phases.
Yes.
All the way through the... So even if they come out to be non-financially feasible, we're going to take them all the way. He just said yes, so you're shaking your head. No, I'm...
Mr. State Attorney.
In the real world, even though these are are third-party contractors and they get paid for doing work, some of these are good people and they take pride in what they do. And when a professional financial consult by state law has to go step by step by step, if the first step set results in this project is not feasible, they aren't going to go anywhere without letting their client, the city of Franklin, know. And the common council could end it right there. That's how the process works. It's step by step by step.
Well, and then depending on what material they're given, and they can be fed material from staff outside of the council, there are, something could come up different, and you end up with just the one on 27th being the viable project, and off we go. All right. So.
I can't. Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
A roll call, please.
Alderwoman Mayor.
No.
I'm not as quick as the city clerk. I apologize. Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
No.
Alderman Mayor.
Aye.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
The vote is four ayes, two noes. Motion carried. Item 3C.
Motion to adopt a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement with Coral and Grady LLP.
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
She jumped the motion. I'm good with that. I didn't have to read the whole paragraph. That's fine.
That's what everybody else is
Any
doing.
Any other discussion? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Mark it as unanimous, please. Item 3D, a motion to adopt a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an agreement with Rooker, Milky, and Hitchcock Design Group. Alderman Will.
This is the one that needs some work. Can we have this come back to us? You also agreed that there needed to be some a little bit of more work on this. Can you? Can we direct the staff to come back with a little bit cleaner contract on that one?
Mr. City Attorney.
I don't know what work needs to be done, and I don't know what you mean by a cleaner contract. And the standard city forms are in there, and the contract has been reviewed by the engineering department, which reviews engineering consult contracts for a living, and said it was okay, and the acting city engineer is shaking his head yes. So I don't know what there would be to fix however many pages, 40 pages.
There's 61 pages, pages there.
I'm just an engineering. That's the way they are.
And it is task one, and that's set forth in the action sheet. That
well, I just...
It's first step.
I guess I have, you know, we sit here and we say, yes, it has problems, but we're going to accept it.
With due respect, Alderman, you said it has
no,
problems.
No, he agreed with me. He shook his head. He did, he did agree with
I
me.
I agreed with you.
Yes, you did. I got it recorded. So.
If I did, it was an error and it was for something else.
Oh, saying. Yes, of course. All right. Never mind.
Only relates to task one.
Yes, right. Yeah. Is there a motion regarding this matter?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor of the motion to approve over the contract signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed?
No.
I'm not going to vote no. I'm just going to abstain because I'm okay with hiring them. I'm just not okay with the contract
Whatever
the way
like.
That it sets in. So I don't want to reject it. So I just...
Fine.
So.
Mr. LaVert.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Dan Mayer.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
I'm staying.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
No.
Vote is 4 ayes, 1 no, 1 abstention. Motion carries. Now I got to go past the 60 pages. Thanks, Joe. Tap him on the head there, Mike.
I'm here.
All right. There. This would be page 95 for those of you who are struggling on this. Yes, sir, Mr. Secretary.
Just with regard to the economic development component, this particular proposal had winnowed out tasks from the overall contract to certain amounts. And it's a good start in writing between staff and the consult. But the reference to Gruen and Gruen, that would still have to be negotiated because on staff review, that's in effect a marketing retail study, and staff thought that would be more valuable to 76th Street and not necessarily needed at all at this point for the mixed use on Loomis Road. Therefore, the $10,000 amount would be reduced because it's not two projects on the console, but just one. So that has to be negotiated in terms of exactly how much that will be. There might be some minor overlap with Buxton there. And so I'm just telling you that.
Fine.
If you want it to go that way, the motion on the action sheet with that recognition would cover it. If you want that economic development component out, then you would say accepting to delete the Gruen and Gruen consult provision.
Accepting that the Gruen and Gruen portion of this contract is for the feasibility analysis, not to go out and attract new retailers, which is why I wanted you all to just wait until tonight before you voted on what you're going to vote on next. So this is a very specific portion. So is there a motion regarding this?
I'll make the motion.
No, I'm sorry. I'll have Will on that.
Oh, well.
So are you saying that how much overlap do we have if we... Because that affects the next vote.
I owe an apology to the city attorney. The Gruen and Gruen part is only $10,000. Based upon the conversations I had, I would guess about three quarters of it would be essential for the retail area, where prior discussions indicated that's most important for the feasibility study. It's less important down in the Loomis area because of the nature of that, but for what will probably only be a $2,500 difference, you can probably just leave the whole amount in and you'll get valuable information. But this is just enough for the feasibility portion. It doesn't really overlap with the consideration for Buxton. So you can take that out, but it is a small portion. It definitely would hurt in the southern area, but my point to the city attorney was it's essential in the retail area. And that's why I've encouraged him to make sure that piece got put in. So my apologies, city attorney.
Mr. City Attorney.
Just my apologies for misunderstanding, because I understood there was some overlap there. And I wouldn't have said that unless that was my understanding. So I was wrong.
Mark that tape.
It's my fault, though. I misled him.
But I apologize because I called on him. So anyway, all women will have.
So we, because this is bundled together, if we want the 76th Street data, we have to do the whole thing. If we want this, you want the Grafe to look at 76th mm-hmm. Street, it's bundled together in this thing. So a vote means it looks at both areas.
Yeah, and it also gives you engineering for the areas that you've expressed an interest in. So why would you vote no?
I'm just making it clear because I'm not sure where Alderwoman Mayer stands on that issue, and I wanted to make sure where it's going. That's
I do need
Alderwoman Mayer. Yeah. No problem.
There is no overlap then between what I would do with that.
A little. Finish your question.
With what Grafe would do with their economic development portion of it and what Buxton information would provide?
I'm going to say something, then I'll apologize for it, then the city attorney will say something and he'll apologize. They're two different... The thrust of them is different, but similar. The data that we'll get from Grafe and their consultant group is going to be a higher level that that XYZ type of company can develop here. The average retail, the average cost of the building is XYZ, as opposed to what you get for Buxton, which would put a name to it, et cetera, et cetera, and give you contact. It's more broad. It's to give us the financial data we need to know if a TIF is viable.
Just not. I understand there's no overlap. Number two, I think I'm hearing the question. Well, this is bundled together. It's two projects. Yes, it's two projects. So I could separate the proposed motion and vote to approve the Grafe consult contract just for the Loomis Road area, or you could move to approve just for the 76th. Retail area, but then there's no engineering consult for whichever one might not get approved. But yes, you can do that. That's how you do it. It's, if I move the motion on the action sheet, accepting that it's just for the Loomis Road mixed development, or say 76 feet. So yes, you can do that.
But don't do that.
No. And it's separated in the contract, so the numbers are in the packet spelled out.
But what are you saying about the engineering portion of it?
Because engineering expertise and review and study of the area is necessary as part of the environmental district review study.
But only the economic development portion would be attributed to the 76th and Boston.
Actually, what Mr. Huberta says is probably the amount specified there, most of the work, maybe three quarters, will be spent on 76th Street and one quarter on the mixed-use area. And that's in the professional judgment of the consulting engineer.
I'm still learning, Suzanne. Are you done?
Oh, yeah. No, I just don't understand. I'm sorry. I don't understand what you're saying.
Repeat after me. Aye.
Now, I'm in favor of keeping that element in there because if we can get more data to help you make a decision, we put the two together, it gives you more information to make an accurate decision.
I would agree with that.
So keep it in there. For the small amount of money that it is, keep it in there.
That's $10,000.
Mr. Ratzenberg.
Mr. Mayor, by my understanding of the council action taken so far at this meeting, there isn't sufficient appropriation available for the $10,000 for the Groom and Groom contract.
Paul, the motion included for the Graves included the restricted contingency, so there is. I believe it's in the language.
I didn't.
Correct. So the
restricted contingency is in the motion, not the unrestricted. Only the unrestricted contingency is in the motion. I didn't see the word restricted in that motion as it was drafted on the council action.
I pay him to be that way, so it's okay. I'm only a little mad at it. Mr. City Attorney.
Found staff directions on all this financial contingency stuff.
It should be, with that addition, it does take it about $9,500 over the contingency. So in the motion where it says area to come from contingency, it should say contingency and restricted contingency.
Then we would be fine.
And then that addresses that extra $9,500 from the restricted contingency portion, which is plenty available. That's over $800,000.
Okay. Is there a motion as outlined in the council action sheet, including the language for the restricted contingency appropriation?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Let's get that one on the Schmidt. Pitch one day. Any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Page 113, the motion is about the resolution directed to the company with the financial information as well.
So move.
I'll second. Unless Chris wants.
I need a second.
I seconded it.
So this is the motion says it's pending the establishment of the TIF. So if it's not established, do we want to take that out of there? I mean, don't we want to move forward quicker than
that? It says with cost to come from restricted contingency.
Pending establishment of applicable tax and portion of the contingency. Pending establishment.
That's related to where the costs are coming from.
Okay,
because so restricted contingency, then if you establish a TIF, the costs could be considered for relocation.
Okay, because it's not quite worded like that. It makes it sound like it's pending that we would do this, but we're going to hire them, comma, pending the establishment of a TIF district. So, and so on.
I think it's okay.
All right. And staff will prepare the budget expenditure. You don't need to add that to the motion. It will just automatically happen. That motion covers it. Okay.
And an Alderwoman Mayor.
Okay, that was the staff directed motion language, and the common council members have before them the standards and orders, the dates, et cetera, for the budget and contract. So that motion means execute the contract.
Okay.
Oh, Mayor.
Nope. Alderman Evans.
So this is approving the $50,000 for the first year. Or are we approving the $50,000?
Well, we're approving the contract, which is 3 years, with the, there is an out.
Right. 60 days prior to the end of year one.
And we'll know.
I, can we add one more thing to that? That will actually have a
second.
Is
an amendment to my motion?
Well, there's been discussion about, oh, we don't have an economic development director, and who's going to be in charge of this, and certainly the EDC would like to take it on, but obviously we're short members, and so I guess I would ask that a staff person be appointed, like Nick, who's already been to some of the, you know, the economic development issues and who shows an interest, that so we can have an actual city staff in-house point person.
Let you and I discuss the tasks there, because that, frankly, is my major concern with the Buxton proposal. It requires us to do more work than we have staff for at the current time. So I would suggest, so desire, approve this, we'll work it out. Mr. City Chair.
Just one technical point with regard to the handout of the standard city boilerplate on this. Staff does temper that if there's negotiations required. It's not always 100%, and that's been the practice, and that's always been told to the Common Council, but Council directed a handout last night, so it's here today. But that hasn't been delivered to Buxton because I didn't have electronic contact info from Mr. Howell. So.
It's just another one of those steps that would show me that you were really into this by doing that.
It was me.
No, I'm talking about, I asked him if he, you know, we could suggest the staff, and he doesn't want to support this direct staff person. So.
I got 220 employees that work for the city. Each one of them has their own specific responsibilities that they're all tasked with individually today. They're all overworked. I promised you I'd work it out with you. I don't understand why it continues to be a battle. There's a motion on the floor. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Roll call, please, Mr. Roberto.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Woman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
The vote is 5-1. Motion carries. Just a closing comment. I thank all of you for coming here tonight. It's a lot like watching the Mistingers do their business. For Alderman Wilhelm, I apologize for some personal comments. That's not the way we should behave between ourselves and with the public. But I thank you all. We got some partners in the room now, so let's get to work. And this is a historic decision. So I thank Rob and Colin. I thank the Common Council. Let's get to the next step. Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second. Or third.
First, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?